Hello and welcome to the Trials of a Casual Wargamer podcast, episode 1. I hope you're all keeping safe and are well in these crazy times. And Happy New Year. I've just realised when I'm recording this, Happy New Year to you all. Today's episode is going to be all about a game that got me back into wargaming. It's a small little skirmish game called Across the Dead Earth. But first,
what's new?
Christmas has come and gone and Santa visited my house and he dropped me off some lovely goodies. I've got the new rules for Blood Bowl. I didn't get the Blood Bowl set as last year I got the 2016 Blood Bowl set, I think it is. And this new set, the new teams just don't do it for me. Too many feathers on those Imperial models. They just don't look like Blood Bowl players to me. So I just got the new rules instead. So hopefully when COVID allows, we'll be able to get our league going again. I'm planning on doing an episode for Blood Bowl so I can tell you all about the different leagues and the online league for Blood Bowl 2 that I'm in as well, so I'll keep you all updated with that another time. Also, that came in my stocking was a lovely orc t-shirt that's just got Dakar written all over it. This is great because my Blood Bowl team is called the Dakar Cowboys. I also got some Raiders and some Brotherhood of Steel models for Fallout Wasteland Warfare. Technically not from Santa, but I also treated myself to a rather nice model from Hassle Free Miniatures. He goes by the name of Ace. And he carries a massive minigun, and he does look a little bit like a certain character from Predator. I think that just about wraps up the what's new bit. So let's crack on with the main bit of the podcast. Let's have a talk about Across the Dead Earth. Back in 2015, I came across a Facebook group for a game called Across the Dead Earth. I joined up and discovered that this was a skirmish game, set mainly in the UK. Now this immediately appealed to me, because that's where I'm from. Most post-apocalyptic games are set in the US. Finding one set in the UK was a great bonus, because now I can sort of apply my local knowledge, as it were, to the game. I love the idea of making a post-apocalyptic version of where I live. The game is made by a small company called Dead Earth Games. I've put the link to their website in the episode description. Now, they are currently working on two new games, a 28mm pirate game called Pirates of the Dread Sea. This game pits crews of pirate ships from various different fantasy races, from elves, orcs and undead, against each other, much like Across the Dead Earth, except in a fantasy pirate setting. Now, the other game they're working on is a 1-600 naval game called The Drowned and the Damned. This is set in the universe of the Pirates of the Dread Sea, and instead of being a skirmish game, is a large naval game. Their latest Kickstarter for The Drowned and the Damned was successful, so that game is fully rolling out as we speak. Right, let's get more into Across the Dead Earth. The rulebook starts by telling you of how the UK became the Dead Earth, or as the survivors call it, FUK. A large conspiracy led to 97% of the population just dropping down dead, and that was before the nuclear weapons dropped. The survivors now form gangs and travel around trying to survive as best they can. You take on one of these gangs. The rulebook mentions several cities where the survivors after the nuclear attacks have come back and set up settlements where they live and survive. This is the type of thing I love in a good rulebook. Lots of fluff, so you've got lots of background that you can form lots of different narrative games out of. In the Across the Dead Earth universe, London has been partially flooded by the Thames and is also known as New Venice. A group of people there who still believe they're the government, who call themselves a state, and they run London and they attempt to run the rest of the country by sending out roving teams to various different places around the country to spread the state's influence. Liverpool is run by gangs who, for the right price, will let you sail across to Ireland or anywhere else you want on abandoned and salvaged boats. And Birmingham, where I live, is known as the Rag Market. This is quite fitting, as we have quite a famous rag market. Birmingham is also home to the Guild of Engineers. Amongst the ruins, they discovered a library containing vast amounts of information. This is based on the old Birmingham library that used to be underground. We now have a new one, and the old one is a thing of the past and just fond memories. Also mentioned in the fluff are the dreaded Solace. Radiation or disease-ridden shambling corpses. Essentially, they're zombies. Because every post-apocalyptic game needs zombies. So that's the basic setting for Across the Dead Earth. Other bits of the world are mentioned in the book, and they do have an expansion, which I'll go into later. This covers a bit more of the world, but mostly aims on the USA. So let's talk a bit more about the game itself. Your basic battle will be one band of survivors versus another band of survivors, usually around 6 to 8 models. Now in the rulebook, there are pre-done gangs, but you can also make your own. There are rules for that in the back of the book. Using a point system, once you've got either one of the gangs mentioned in the books, or your own gang, you gotta grab yourself a table, put some terrain down, about 3 foot by 3 foot should be the best size table, and away we go. The turn system is a I go, you go system. Now, coming from Games Workshop, it sounds really daft, but completely amazing to me, as I was so used to just my whole army doing something, and then your whole army doing something. But this I go, you go system was really good, and allows for a bit more of a flow in the battle. Every member of your gang gets 2 actions, apart from the leader, who gets 3 actions. These are the usual type of actions in war games. You can move, shoot, aim, hide, engage in melee, or watch and wait, which is essentially a bit like Overwatch. Some characters have special skills, such as medics or leaders who can order other players about. You also start the game by drawing some things called event cards. These are great little cards, and they really add a bit of spice to the game. The tripwire is quite a favourite amongst me and my best mate. We use it quite a lot just to make players fall over. These event cards can range from, as I mentioned, the tripwire, which just makes a character fall over, or a character when he goes down, dropping a grenade to take everyone out around him. To move your character, it's fairly simple war game affair. You have a set number of inches, but difficult terrain or climbing thing takes away inches from that. So that's fairly simple to do. Shooting in Across the Dead Earth has a nice little system. Every gun has 3 different ranges, short, medium, and long. Obviously, some guns will be better at long range, and other guns will be better at short range. The shotgun, for instance, will be better at short range than it will be at long range, so that gives it better statistics. For each range, there's a to-hit roll. This can be modified by either the player aiming, which adds to your roll, or the opponent being in cover, which makes the roll harder. You roll 2d6 to see what you get. Now, this is a part I quite like. So, you've hit with your gunshot. Excellent. Now, the defending player has to roll against their toughness on 2d6. Usually, most characters, their toughness is 10. This sounds easy to start with, right? In Across the Dead Earth, there are different types of gunshots, from glancing hits to full-on slugs to the chest. This is represented by what you rolled on your to-hit dice. If you needed a 4, and you rolled an 8, you would take that positive 4 difference and turn it into a save modifier for the opponent. Then you would add on the gun save modifier. With a shotgun at close range, that's -3. So you're looking at potentially -7 to the toughness roll. So now your opponent, instead of rolling under 10 with 2d6, has got to roll under 3 with 2d6. That makes it a lot more devastating. That is the basics of shooting in Across the Dead Earth. Next, we'll talk about close combat, or melee, but I really can't say melee. So close combat, each player rolls 1 dice. The attacking player will add an attacking modifier, depending on what weapon he has. The defending player will add a parry modifier, depending on what weapon they have. So obviously, swords and shields will have better parry than a wrench or a lead pipe. Whoever gets the highest roll wins the combat. If it's a draw, the combat carries on. Whether you've been stabbed, shot, punched, kicked in Across the Dead Earth, you'll get knocked out. Here, you have a chance to recover or bleed out. But also, while you're knocked out, someone with a medic skill can come and save you. And that's pretty much it. That's the basic rules anyway. The aim of all this is to collect loot. The more loot you get, the more chance you are of buying new things and upgrading your game. The real hook to this type of skirmish game is seeing your gang progress through the different battles. What loot they find, what experience they earn, and how they grow, or how they die. The book comes with 4 different gangs. The Adams family, no, not that Adams family. The Red Claw Gang, Jester's State Squad, and the Engineers Guild. These have all pre-done characters in. These are lovely little models, plenty of detail on them, and I have every single one except for the Adams family, which I need to pick up at some point. In the rulebook, there are also rules to make your own gangs up from whatever models you've got at hand. It uses skill trees so you can have different models specialise in different things. So you can have people that are good at carrying heavy weapons, or snipers, or jacks of all trades. As I've mentioned before, the book comes with plenty of fluff and just little bits of fluff, which are always good, so you have plenty of ideas and scope to make your own gang with your own models and where to set your battles. My little Across the Dead Earth world is set in my local town, which is just outside of Birmingham, aka the Rag Market. My first gang is based in the Fawns, an abandoned sports stadium that's been turned into a settlement, a bit like Diamond City from Fallout 4. They are called the 78th Smevic Irregulars. This gang is made up of all manner of minis, as I was just getting into the game, so I hadn't really bought many of the other minis. There's an old Orlok gang leader, a Ratskin, and a Vansar ganger, and a Barbarian Archer that used to be a D&D mini. The Irregulars' main opponents are my best friend's gang, called the Coggers. These are mostly made up from old Chaos Soldiers and Necromunda minis. As I mentioned, this was back when I was just getting back into wargaming, so a lot of the minis I used were ones that I'd found in the loft. Those two gangs were the first main ones. I've expanded a bit more and got a few more gangs once I started getting the Across the Dead Earth miniatures. So I have an Engineer squad, I have a State squad, and I also have the Red Claw gang, and they're a bunch of savages in my world. Dead Earth Games also produce a couple of mercenaries. They are mentioned in the rulebook. These are the odd couple of soldiers you can hire to accompany your gang on certain missions. They're also, as ever, nice sculpts as well, and definitely worth checking out the whole range, as well as their Pirates of the Dread Sea and their new naval game. As with all good games, there are expansions, and this one has a couple. One of them is called Origins. Unfortunately, I've managed to lose my copy of this one. Now, Origin covers a group of people called the Forestkin. These are survivors who have shunned technology and have gone all primitive. You can use this expansion to form your own Forestkin gang. I apologise, I can't say any more about these, but as I mentioned, I've lost my copy, so I haven't been able to read up on them. The biggest expansion, though, is one called From Sea to Poison Sea, and this takes the action away from the FUK. The first part of the section is dedicated solely to the Solace, Across the Dead Earth zombies. We now have rules for using them as NPCs in games, or as part of a narrative campaign. So part of your own campaign could be having two gangs fighting out over an area infested with Solace, and the NPC rules allows them to attack either side depending on the situation. I love the idea of this, and I know a couple more games have followed suit, as it makes the battlefield come more alive. There are also rules for starting your own gang of Solace to run in a campaign. They don't develop like gangers, well, because they're dead. It's an interesting take, being able to form a gang of Solace. Normally, your gangs are the ones fighting them. Now, the Kozzis have influence in all the surviving cities. Kozzi comes from the Cosa Nostra, the Mafia to you and me. The second part of From Sea to Poison Sea expands on some of the fluff mentioned in the rulebook. The Red Army is rumoured to still survive in Russia and fighting with the old American army in Alaska. The Black Army is mainly made up of black marketeers, and they seem to be based more around Central and Eastern Europe, using their forces to gather up old Russian weapons supplies and recover other weapons, and also control factories and produce weapons to sell to all the survivors around the world, it seems. A good-sized chunk of the expansion expands on what's happening in the USA, or what's left of it, and covers some of the factions fighting there still. The first faction mentioned are the Feds, believed to be the descendants of surviving FBI agents. Though it is mentioned the FBI were suspiciously ready for a nuclear war, and that's why quite a few of them survived. Now, the Feds' arch-rivals are named the Colombians. No, not from Colombia, the country, but from Colombia, the state. It took me a while to get this, I have to say. The Colombians believe they are the descendants of the executive office who used to run the USA, and that the Feds should come under their banner and submit to them. Now, down in Texas, the battle is being fought between the Barons, who are all wealthy oil families, and the governor, who has declared himself the King of Texas. The Cossis spend most of their time obtaining and selling goods to the survivors all around the country, and also they offer protection. So all these different factions mean that you can really expand your Across the Dead Earth game into the US, as there are plenty of US models that would fit all of these different things. Well, that's pretty much it for Across the Dead Earth. As I'm into fluff and narrative wargaming, I hope you can kind of see why Across the Dead Earth appeals to me. I also managed to attend a tournament slash Games Day type thing for Across the Dead Earth, and it was a great day playing with other Dead Earth fans. I got to play 4 games in one day, which is always a bonus when wargaming. I lost all of them, but I had a great time playing. As I've previously said, the guys at Dead Earth Games are currently pushing their pirate games and their naval games at the moment, and I also know they have a cracking idea for a board game. So if you like Snowpiercer, you'll really like their new idea. They have said that Across the Dead Earth will get an update one day, but as I said, it's a very small company and they do this alongside full-time employment. So they have to do what they can, when they can. But I hope you can see from this, Across the Dead Earth is a great little skirmish game from a great little company, and maybe you should give it a try.
What is on the hobby table?
As I mentioned in What's New, I got some Raider models and some Brotherhood of Steel models for Christmas. These have all been made up, and I managed to even undercoat them in a break in the weather recently. So I shall crack on with painting them as soon as the school holidays have finished and the kids go back to school. Oh, I've also got Ace from Hassle Free. He's been undercoated as well, so he'll get painted at the same time. I bought him so he can join the Brotherhood of Steel with his minigun, but he should fit in several different game systems. This is a great way to save space when you can have minis that cover various different game systems. That's pretty much it for the hobby table at the moment.
Any other business?
Well, mainly I've been looking at battle systems, cardboard, urban, apocalypse terrain. Mainly for Across the Dead Earth and Fallout. It looks absolutely stunning from the pictures that I've seen. My slight worry is that it's cardboard, so it'll warp and get broken easily. But the idea that you can put it down flat is great, as that saves so much space. If any of you guys have used it or know someone that have used it, let me know on Twitter or Facebook if it's any good, because I'm really looking at investing in it. I've also spotted in the Conflict 47 Facebook group I'm in some very nice preview shots of some new British soldiers coming out, which look amazing. I've got a small British Conflict 47 force, and I think these would look really good in it. So I can't wait to find out what they are. The next episode I'll do on Conflict 47 and Bolt Action together. These are quite popular games, so it probably won't be as in-depth as Across the Dead Earth, as that's a relatively lesser-known game. I'll probably have to do a whole other episode on the narrative campaign we're running for Conflict 47, as that has become quite in-depth from where it started. We have special characters, and even the Piat team's got names. Well, I think that just about wraps up the first proper episode of Trials of a Casual Wargamer podcast. Keep the dice rolling and stay safe out there, people.